You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I just can't believe that I've waited this long to ask Stugatz about the things that J.J. Watt has been doing recently, because J.J. Watt very publicly cut a hole in the ice in the earth and then took photographs where he is descending into that ice. And he is showing you how he cares for his body by getting into ice water and allowing the ice water to heal and make his blood circulate and allow all the healing that comes with ice tubs. And I was just curious how you experienced all that, because I heard you and saw you the other day wondering aloud how it is that J.J. Watt was going to find the places to endear himself to the Arizona audience. And he took some pictures around the locker of Pat Tillman, and that is something that is very close to the people of Arizona. It's also something very polarizing to the people of Arizona, and he said that it was an honor to be in the sphere where Pat Tillman's jersey exists.
And I'm certain it is an honor to be in that sphere. It should be an honor to J.J. Watt to be in that sphere, but it's the most J.J. Watt thing to do in the world, right, is to take a picture
next
to Pat Tillman.
I'm not going
to
be cynical about that, though I understand anyone's cynicism when it comes to J.J. Watt and him giving off the athlete that you wish your athlete to be. And I also understand this is something we've been talking about for years. It is an excellent way in that sport where the bodies are disposable and all the quarterbacks are the only ones who are stars. To make yourself a star is to be the white guy who's Captain America, who is selling all the things on defense that a defensive player of the year can sell, and also is just maximum 100% feeding all the mythologies. And you can question whether it's sincere or not. Houston, until now, did not question whether it was sincere or not. They might question it now because he has, quote unquote, betrayed Houston or not been loyal to Houston. And so the fans will do what fans do. And do you make us feel good? No, you don't make us feel good anymore. Okay, we'll question your sincerity. But this is something that we've observed about J.J. Watt for a while from a distance, and Stugatz has been maximum cynical about J.J. Watt. So I'm asking, is the first man to accuse him of not actually having a log cabin that is sparse, and the log cabin has an elevator, and the log cabin isn't actually a log cabin? How did you experience him descending into the earth after very publicly cutting up the ice so that he could descend and take pictures in the icy earth?
The same way I experience everything with J.J. Watt. Just hop into an ice bath, like, without telling us. Just go do it, because that's part of your job. That's part of recovering from your workout. So, Dan, I cannot believe that we pay this much attention to a guy who does all these things during the offseason and has to post every single one of them in an effort to try to give off that he's making himself better. He's working very, very hard. And then he shows up for his actual job, which is sacking the quarterback, and he never does it. So, like, explain that to me. Why are we enamored with J.J. Watt, and why can't J.J. Watt do something as simple as icing his body without telling the entire world? Why?
You know he has a cold tub in that cabin. Did you see the sauna, like, on the fifth picture of that thing? It fits the entire Arizona Cardinals if you wanted to put them in there. It's ridiculous. You don't need to cut that hole into the middle of the ice to do that. Also, he wasn't cutting it. If you notice the pictures, he wasn't in the pictures of the people cutting it. He was taking the pictures of the people cutting it. And also, J.J. Watt strikes me as someone who would be offended if someone cut ice and hurt the earth. So I'm surprised that he's going out there hurting the earth, cutting the ice, and going down into the water. And also, think about the deers and the animals that run around there that now may fall into that ice water and die, J.J. Watt, because of your selfishness, because of your Instagram picture. Get over yourself.
Okay, so Billy feels the same about J.J. Watt. Are there?
Could you not? Honestly,
yeah.
How could you feel any other way about him? I mean,
well, I think that you guys have the minority opinion on J.J. Watt. He did become a star somehow.
No, I think people are tired of J.J. Watt.
Overrated. Yeah.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Are people tired of J.J. Watt? Yes or no?
When you do the whole ice thing and you cut into the earth and you sit there and take pictures of yourself, it's fine when you have 21 sacks. When you have 5.5, it becomes a joke. I mean, seriously.
Okay, but you're doing the move that we sort of marveled at the other day when, who was it that did the move? Was it you that did the move? No, it was Chris Russo got confused because he got fooled by a Tom Izzo Twitter account that wasn't Tom Izzo, and so the first order of business was to try to rip Tom Izzo's record, and then he realized, wait a minute, Tom Izzo has been kind of good this year, so I can't rip the record. You ignore that J.J. Watt, wasn't it a couple of years ago that he had double-digit sacks? Was that not a couple of years ago? Do I have that wrong? Let's play the
move. What has he done for us lately?
That's correct.
Exactly. It's 16 sacks, I think, 3 years ago. Since then, it's been a complete disaster.
Let's play for the audience where it is, courtesy of Mad Dog Radio and Sirius XM, where it is that Stugatz learned all the things he needed to learn about pivoting when you've been accused of something like farting on the air.
I'm getting a little mileage out of this with the so-called fart yesterday on the air when I was doing that one-hour show on February 25th that never goes away. It was blowing my nose. It wasn't a fart. But Tom Izzo has just retweeted that. And Tom said it still could have been a fart. So there you go. So we're getting a little thank you, Funhouse. Nice job by Funhouse from that standpoint. We could use all the publicity we can get from that. So the fart that wasn't is a big topic now in Michigan. Michigan State's winning games. I was going to kill Tom and say, how about winning some ball games? But they've won some, so I can keep my mouth shut. Plus, my kid wants to be a basketball coach, and he's run into Izzo once or twice. Maybe Tom will hire him in 5 years. So I got to be nice. So there you go from that standpoint.
Is this generational in terms of how young people tend to roll their eyes as J.J. Watt feeds the machine on what old people want from their athletes? Because I don't believe that J.J. Watt is polarizing. I believe there are some people, and they are the internet snarky people, who have a distaste for J.J. Watt. But J.J. Watt is pretty purposefully, whether he's doing it consciously or not, Stugatz, you can't dispute that he's feeding the things that sports fans like, right? That sports fans generally like their athlete to be pure and wholesome and believe in the right things and do charitable things. And if it's a little look at me, it's okay that it's look at me because he's doing good things and working hard and being about integrity and team right up until his team loses. And then he flees the premises because he's mad at Bill O'Brien and everything that happened around his beloved Texans.
You know what sports fans like, Dan? They like sacks. They like winning. They like plays that help their team win. They don't care about an ice bath in the winter if it results in no wins. They don't care. They don't care if you do all the right things to get yourself ready for a season in which you're going to play 9 of the 16 games and have 5 sacks. Then they stop the care. They stop caring right at that point. When the production doesn't meet what he's doing on social media, that's when they stop caring and start rolling their eyes. I'm telling you.
He's corny. He's not doing the right thing. He's corn pops, this guy. Listen to me. Who cares what he did in 2018? You know who won the Super Bowl in February of 2018? The Philadelphia Eagles.
You tell him.
Okay. Yep. And how did that turn out?
Mm-hmm.
Corn pops.
Corn pops.
Yep. He is corny. I mean, jeez.
What are corn pops?
JJ.
It's a cereal.
It's a cereal. Yeah.
Kellogg's. Kellogg's.
Comes in the aluminum instead of the plastic casing. Yeah. You don't know corn pops?
You've never had corn pops?
You've never had corn pops?
The middle ground between crunchy and soggy. When you get a crunchy exterior but a soggy inside, that's a sweet spot, Dan.
JJ Watt only has Wheaties. Yeah. I
mean. Wait a minute. Is this like Toy Story? Do you not eat cereal? What cereals have you missed?
I don't eat very many of the sugary cereals. It's just sort of Raisin Bran and oatmeal. It's the boring stuff. Yes, I'm sorry, Billy.
Raisin Bran?
Time out.
Isn't Raisin Bran sneaky sugary? Like, it's not a healthy cereal, I thought.
Well, forgive me. I haven't had even Raisin Bran in like 10 years. The last time I had cereal was Raisin Bran.
Have you ever had a bowl of Lucky Charms?
No.
What?
What?
No.
You haven't had...
He has a froth of Raisin Lucky Charms.
Raisins are like the worst toys in cereal ever.
Again, I have not had Raisin Bran. I'm really being Raisin Bran shamed here.
No, I like Raisin Bran. I think Billy's off on this. It's a nice it's a nice cereal.
Have you ever had a bowl of Captain Crunch?
No.
Thank you.
What?
Crunch berries. Peanut butter crunch?
No.
Count Dracula?
No. How about Oops All Berries?
No.
Yeah. Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
No. Count Chocula.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch Churros? No. He's had Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
No.
I mean, come on. What? Fruity Pebbles?
No, Blueberry. I've not been much of a cereal eater my entire life. No.
Eater.
What?
No.
Fruit Loops?
Those are for kids.
No.
Apple Jacks?
No.
Frosted Flakes?
Honeycomb?
Maybe Frosted Flakes.
No, you've had Corn Flakes, maybe. Not Frosted Flakes.
Not Frosted.
Special K?
Again, I don't believe I've had...
You haven't lived, man.
I haven't had a cereal, I do not believe.
Cheerios?
I've got one for you. The closest I have come to a cereal recently is some sort of granola made of quinoa and cacao.
Jesus Christ.
I hate you. Ugh, gross. Oh,
God. Grape nuts.
Who the hell ruined cereal?
I have had grape nuts. I have, Roy, had grape nuts.
What's the deal with grape nuts? They're not a grape bar nut.
Cocoa Pebbles?
Golden Grahams?
Cocoa Puffs.
I think I may have had Cocoa Puffs at some point in my childhood. I'm sorry to disappoint you guys.
You don't think you've had Cocoa Puffs. You know if you've had Cocoa Puffs.
Well, I sort of remember from 30 years ago, vaguely 40 years ago, I remember some chocolatey puff thing that I had.
Probably.
And so you guys are asking me to rummage around in my childhood memories. I don't know if this is any good as radio or podcast, but I do believe that what we're doing right now is just no again and again for just about any cereal that you guys mention.
I already mentioned that one. It was a hard no before. I was hoping to catch him.
Oh, man. Honey Smacks?
Ooh, Jacks. Money
Smacks. You can keep trying if you want.
Applejacks.
I will tell you guys, I've discovered
Applejacks.
That's a fine. I should have been listening.
I've discovered recently that Chex Dry, is an underrated dry cereal. Have you guys noticed that ever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
that's
good.
That's a good point. Good point.
Just making sure.
Roy, we appreciate you as a teammate. The rest of the chat just stared at Stugatz for ending the segment poorly.
Dry checks.
You got it.
Cathartic.
Drac.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Quinoa needs better marketing because it could be an incredible tasty treat, and yet if you call it quinoa and it sounds awful.
The only marketing they have is Dan.
It's not an incredibly tasty treat.
Here's the marketing. It needs chocolate and sugar on it, and I'm in.
Yeah. Billy, what were you doing watching 1970s Price is Right yesterday? What was happening?
I got it by accident. Oh, man. What a delight. I was finding products that don't even exist anymore. I even texted myself one. Do you guys take notes by texting yourself? Because that's what I do. I text myself things. Do you know what a carafe is?
I email myself things.
I use the notes too.
A carafe, like something.
Do you do it at 4 a.m. then? You email yourself at 4 a.m.?
Yes. You hold something you hold drinks in, like a canteen, or something that is a bit of a, how do you, it's something that you pour with, right?
this is something that I found on The Price is Right. And now that you're mentioning it, it doesn't even make sense. So it was a carafe, and I had never heard of this carafe. So I Googled it, and I found out there still are modern carafes. But this carafe, which could be yours if the price was right, was a glass container for your coffee with a candle holder underneath it to keep your coffee warm. So that's how you kept coffee warm in 1970, whatever this episode was. You lit a candle underneath your coffee holder to make sure that it stayed warm. And I'm assuming now that it must have detached from that to pour it, because if not, you'd be pouring it and then you'd be pouring the hot wax over everything.
So you were fascinated. I don't think that's a thing that people were doing in the early 70s, was it? Although I would be too young to remember.
Oh, it was big. It was on The Price is Right. That was a big thing.
You're talking about like a sterno beneath your coffee cup in order to keep it warm?
No, it was a carafe, Dan. So it was like this glass, like it was like a glass pitcher. And then on, like attached to it, it had a place for a candle that you'd light to keep your candle warm. Cars also were like $8,000 on this episode. It was crazy. You could get a car, it was a motorcycle, a speedboat. And where was the trip to? No, and a kitchen set, I think it was. And it was like $13,000. It was insane. What a better time, huh? Well, maybe not.
Well, what is happening in general in terms of the fear and stuff in your mind where you go careening wildly from 70s Price is Right to being afraid of space hotels where you're like, I don't want...
space hotels, please. Like, that's ever going to happen. Get out of here. 2020, whatever. Yeah, we're going to be in space hotels, please. We haven't even been to Mars yet, okay? They keep sending up little trucks to go around Mars and drive around and take pictures and do whatever it is that they're doing up there. Also, Elon Musk, if he's involved in this space hotel, you know it's never going to happen. It's a miracle from God that the rockets that blow up on his don't have people on them. It's a miracle because he loses a rocket like every other week. Thank God no one's ever on them when they blow up. You think we're going to be in space? No, thank you, space hotels.
I mean, Dan, you agree with that, right? Like, let's get to space first before we start building Ritz-Carltons, okay? I mean, it's absurd.
Right? Are you going to go, if there's a space hotel, Dan, would you go to a space hotel? Because let's be real, I'm never going to be able to go to a space hotel. It's not, and what happened to Lance Bass? Wasn't he supposed to be going to space? He never made it, did he? What happened to that story?
What happened to Lance Bass?
Exactly.
I'm going to be a first follower on space hotels. I do not want to be a leader on space hotels. I want to be somebody who is totally comfortable after the space hotel has been deemed safe going to a space hotel. But what details were you reading specifically about space hotels that were freaking you out?
Well, that it's a hotel in space, number one. It's like this big circular thing that I'm assuming spins around this way. I don't really know how it works. I heard Tony Kornheiser talking about it. And I feel like me and Tony Kornheiser, I'd say we'd get along, but I don't think we would because we'd never talk to each other. But he feels like a kindred spirit of mine where he has no interest in going to the space hotel. You know what he said he needed at the space hotel? A pool. But it had to be an indoor pool. Great point. Can't have an outdoor pool at a space hotel, can you? Can you get a tan in space?
Plus, Tony,
the sun is there.
Yeah. And Tony hates planes. Is he going to take a rocket? I mean,
Tony is afraid of everything, though. Tony has to take a lot of drugs just to get into an airplane. So I can't imagine what it would be like for him. He doesn't want to be in a hotel on Miami Beach. Why would he want to be in a hotel in space? And why are you finding a 73 or 74 year old man a kindred spirit?
Billy's an old soul. I'm looking at the pictures of this space hotel now. This is a bad idea, Dan. I mean, sir, the thing just spins around. People are going to get lost. I mean, it's a terrible idea.
And it looks like a Ferris wheel, yes. And Ferris wheels are scary as it is. That's not the design you want for a space hotel.
It's awful.
People are going to get lost.
In space.
I mean, yeah. Ever heard of the show Lost in Space? Yeah. It's happened.
So just to be clear on where it is we are with this discussion, you guys having studied very little in terms of the plans, you guys knowing very little about science.
I just looked at a picture.
You guys.
I'm not an architect. I don't need to know the plans. I mean, do you look at the plans of hotels before you go to them, Dan? No, get out of here.
I don't.
Let me see the blueprints before I book a room. No, I don't need to know all that okay. stuff. Does it have a bed? Does it have a, you know, mini fridge? Mini fridges. You get a room without a mini fridge. Eh.
I don't
use the mini fridge? Or the mini bar? You use the mini bar?
No, I don't use the mini bar. I take all that stuff out. I put it in a safe drawer somewhere. I go to the CVS or Walgreens. I get my own stuff. Put it in there. make sure that it's cool. I also count before I go in exactly how many little things are inside the fridge. If there's like a Snickers or something, I make sure I get my own Snickers, preferably a different wrapper, so I can't be accused of eating a Snickers. But yeah, no, you guys do that. Don't pay for that.
I can only imagine how many things Billy puts in that little safe in the hotel room.
I don't trust him.
You don't try. You think the housekeeper's going to come in and has access?
They know your code, man. And there's one code to open all those safes. I mean,
yeah, and the ones where you have to swipe in a credit card to open it and close it. No, thank you. All right. If you can walk by and just kind of tap me on the back and get my credit card information, what's happening when I'm actually swiping my credit card to open a safe? I'm on to you. Whoever you are.
Tell me a little more about how you replace the mini fridge. I want to hear about Billy's very exact. I'm hoping it's filled with OCD and you very meticulously take all the things that are overpriced in the mini fridge and put them in a drawer one by one and just get ideas for things you're going to go buy at CVS and come back with one of those giant receipts the size of a Jarvis Landry catch with the Dolphins.
Wait, am I the only one that does this? I thought this was a normal thing that you would do.
Taking every item out of the mini bar and then replacing it before you check out?
Well, yeah, you need the space in the fridge. I need to put my inventory in there. I got to move out the stuff. It's hogging up all my cold air. You don't do this. No one does this. You pay for these things. You pay $12 for a Twix. Get out of here.
No,
you're an idiot.
Go
to the store, buy a Twix for like a dollar, whatever it costs. You put it in there. And then when you're done, you go and you just put all the stuff back in there.
But Billy, I'm terrified to touch anything in the mini bar because I feel
wear
like
gloves. You have to wear
Billy,
gloves.
I think
no,
most
I think
people just
watching.
Most people just don't do anything with it. You just leave it there and you don't ever touch it. Like,
so what do? So, you take your own fridge?
No, I mean, I'm in a hotel for 2 nights. Why do I need a fridge? I mean, I don't need
goodness
a fridge.
This isn't adding up to me.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Do you use the mini fridge in your hotel? Yes or no? Also, put it up on the poll. Have you ever emptied your mini fridge and filled it with discounted replica items in order to save money? Because I don't believe that you're the only person to have done this, but I'd like for you to meticulously take us through how this happens. Do you immediately get there, survey the inventory, is it the first thing you do? Do you immediately get ideas for where it is to get replicas, or how does it work?
Oh, no, you absolutely have to inventory everything as soon as you go in there. You make a note of what it was. Sometimes you even take a picture if you have to, so you could put things back exactly where they were so no one's any the wiser. The worst to do this on is a cruise, right? Because a cruise, someone will come in every day. So it's kind of like, well, how do I put this somewhere so that it's safe, but they don't think that I consumed it and then replace it and I get charged for it. So you kind of have to like, you put that out where they could see it. And cruise rooms aren't, I don't know about you guys, my cruise rooms are never very big, so it doesn't matter. But in a hotel, it's a lot easier. You just put the do not disturb, no one comes in to kind of clean your room, and then you kind of just put it off on like a counter somewhere. You put it in the top drawer, make a little divider with one of your clothes. You do like a little rolling up your shirt. You make a little wall out of your shirts. You put the other shirts there, and then the other half of the thing is all the candies and the waters and little mini bottles and all the drinks that you have in there. And then you could even kind of recreate the order that they're in inside the drawer so that you know, I just get this, I put it back. This is the top row. This is the second row. This is the third row. Left to right, you do the same thing. It's not that complicated. Why do you guys make it seem like I'm the crazy one? I'm the crazy one because I show up to a hotel and I inventory the fridge and I take pictures of the fridge and I put down exactly what was in there and then I set it up in a different place and then I put everything back exactly how it was after verifying in my pictures and my notes. I'm the crazy one. Okay.
No, that's not crazy at all.
It seems like you have no time to enjoy the hotel.
It does take up a lot of time.
You unpack all your clothes and put them in the drawers every time? If you're there for two nights?
No. Sometimes you get a room that has two beds, set up the other bed as your kind of your situation.
That is the move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Couple of queen beds.
Mm-hmm. Cutting it up. Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Do you use the second bed in a hotel room to just stack items and food and clothes? And also put on the poll at Lebatard Show, do you put your clothes in the drawers? Yes or no? Because we seem like a group that would keep it all in the suitcases and duffel bags. It doesn't seem like anybody in our group would take anything and put it in the drawers.
How much time do you guys spend when you get to the hotel determining this is the sleeping bed, this is the storage bed?
Not 1 second.
Oh. Dan, I've got Whittingham with all his outfits like pre-packaged and he puts them all in the drawers.
They're like in the individual bags. Yes, I think. Yes,
no doubt. That's a bit much. Individual bags.
They're like in those like Ziploc, like vacuum bags.
This one says Tuesday night. This one says Wednesday morning.
Labeled. Yeah.
Toiletries.
You cut a little close to the bone there on Whittingham where he just limps in with that's a little much, but yes, I've dry cleaned my car.
I do organize things by day. That is 100% true. Everything is laid out in the drawers. First thing I do when I walk in is organize my week.
I love that. When I was looking into the Zoom, I'm like, we seem like a group of people who only uses duffel bags and suitcases. And I see, as I'm watching, Whittingham getting smaller and smaller in the Zoom because he's like, oh my God, these guys are going to see me soon.
I traveled to the UK with Whittingham twice. It was like the most enjoyable experience. You just roll around my dead carcass that's just been drinking beers all day, and he'll get me where I need to go, no questions asked. It's actually the most relaxing thing. It's cathartic.
Ben, let me explain something to you. I imagine Mike Ryan and Whittingham in London. Mike Ryan basically drinking so much alcohol that you could put a flammable sign on him, and then when he wakes up in the morning, you know what's hanging in the closet? It's Mike Ryan from a hanger in a dry clean bag because Chris Whittingham has just protected him and made sure that his skin doesn't age because he's put some aloe type of substance on him to make sure that
freshly starched.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
And you know who's there when I come to? Chris Whittingham. With
just bright-eyed, like ready to go. Breakfast is in 20 minutes.
I gave you some hours. Cucumbers for your eyes. Here's some black coffee. I made you a cup of breakfast. Joe.
Like Chris takes his own mints to put on pillows.
Speaking of being hammered on vacation, that's the only time I use any kind of provided by the hotel. It's that free water. Sometimes I'll be like drunk from the like wake up at like 8 a.m. just hungover, and it's like a $4 water, but I just got to chug it all because I have nothing else in the room.
Yeah. Free.
There's nothing free at a hotel, Chris.
Nothing. Yeah,
the waters are free.
No, they're not.
Well, for you, everything's free at a hotel. You just steal it all. You've got robes and soaps and don't you have a whole bunch of free hotel stuff?
I have robes. I have soap. I take shampoos. I do all that stuff. I think what Chris is what I'm saying when I say nothing is free is anything you drink or eat in a hotel room, they're going to charge you for it. They don't notice the towels, the robes, the shampoo, the soap. They do notice the food in the mini bar. It's just that's my experience with it. Yeah.
How can they not notice the robes? I'm sure they put down your bill.
No. Because sometimes people take the robes down to the pool and it's hard to keep track of them. Yeah. You can see how someone can steal a robe.
Same with the towels, Roy.
It does seem like backwards priorities, though, right? Like, why would you be concerned about a Snickers but not a robe when you consider the amount you'd probably pay for it?
It's a good question. I imagine a Snickers costs like 30 cents, right? They're charging you $17 for it. That's why. I mean, so that's more important.
So it's
a
profit margin thing?
Yeah, and towel, they're just buying in bulk, you know? They don't care. It's a hotel.
Has it been a while since you bought a Snickers that you think they're worth 30 cents? That you think that you can buy a Snickers for 30 cents?
No, I'm saying the hotel probably buys all those Snickers at roughly 30 cents to a dollar and sells them back to you because you're drunk, stoned, or it's late night and you're hungry and you got to open that mini bar to get the Snickers, and then it's $17 on your bill.
What is more overpriced, movie theater snacks or hotel room snacks in terms of being ripped off? You think so? Put that on the poll, Guillermo. Yeah. At Le Batard Show, what is more overpriced, hotel snacks or movie theater snacks? Mike, what is it about a lost bird poster that bothered you?
I saw it. I tweeted about it this morning. I was pulling out of my driveway and I have a stop sign right there and someone posted a sign. It was lost bird. It was a very tiny bird. It was colorful, so maybe I'd recognize it if I saw it, but you got some balls if you're posting up a sign. Like, you got any chance of finding that bird?
That's a great point.
Do you laugh?
What do you want us to do about it?
If I see the bird, how do you think? It's not like I could be like, Here, boy.
You call the number, and then you track it. You follow it and call the number.
I want to call the number. Hey, I just saw the bird flying over my house. I'm in area code 33176. Good luck with all that.
Now I'm picturing you like Ace Ventura in right. that scene where he's trying to catch the bird.
That's the only time I've ever seen a bird search before is an Ace Ventura.
I mean, it's just, I don't know how rewarding it is to have a bird. I'm sure they're birds that talk, right? And people develop these amazing relationships. The lost bird that I saw isn't one of those birds. I'm just like, how much can you really love a bird, truly, honestly, that you have a reward for a bird? Like, you've got any shot at finding this, and like, anyone in Miami-Dade County knows how to catch said bird if they see it.
Or anyone in Miami,
hey, found your bird.
Anyone in Miami-Dade County cares whether you've lost your bird or not.
I want to call it.
I can't get someone to smile at me when I'm walking down the street. You think someone's going to fetch my bird for me?
Do you think they'd be offended if I call it, all right, you want this bird dead or alive? Just hang up.
I want to know, Guillermo, put this on the poll at Lebatard Show. Have you reached a unique place in desperation when you are hanging up pictures of your bird on a telephone pole and asking people to help you find it? Because you must feel a special kind of helpless to arrive in a place that I know what I'm going to do. I'm terribly sad. I've lost my bird. I'm going to ask my neighbors, some of whom I haven't talked to in a decade, to see if they see my bird, if they could grab it and bring it to me, or if they could go about whatever it is that one would purchase to chase a bird, a butterfly net, or whatever it is that you would find.
A butterfly net. Whatever. You have to fly.
Give me all the solutions you have for catching a bird that are better than a butterfly pool skimmer. Net.
It's what makes the request so stupid.
Yeah. No, you need a butterfly net. You need to walk on your tippy toes as you approach the bird, and you need to turn to the camera, breaking the fourth wall, and go shh. And you have to keep tippy toeing. How am I gonna? It's a very friendly neighborhood. I just moved into it, but anyone's dedicating any time to helping out their fellow neighbor, if it's even a neighbor, or they're just going around the Tri-County area saying, "Help me find this bird." I want to call the number. How can I help? Is there a fund I can donate? Because I want you to find this bird now. It's a needle in a haystack situation.
Roy just mentioned something that conjured for me an image, because based on what Roy mentioned, I'm telling you that you would see the following headline if I took Roy's advice, which is using what I believe he called a pool skimmer. The next headline you would see would be somebody reporting, Lebatard seen killing bird with pool skimmer, because I would just be, miss, right. just be swinging it all over
you'd
the place
with a metal ball.
Yes. That's right. I got the bird. And you'd see me like whack it like with a whale, like a baseball bat into
I can't wait to see that on Rex Chapman's Twitter.
But in terms of extension, that would be the go-to.
You call the number and you're like, I've got good news and I've got bad news.
I found your bird.
I whacked it into the side of your house trying to catch it.
But it's dead.
What did you do? I used a pool skimmer. What did you want me to use? A butterfly net? Where was I going to get one of those?
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.